Now, I've got a title this morning, which is What's Stopping You? And in Acts chapter 3, we find this wonderful account. So the Lord Jesus, he's taught the disciples as he's shown them what they should and shouldn't be doing, how he's educated them, how he's shared with them. They're now in this position, as we well know, we've experienced Easter together and been blessed by that as a church. If that's for me, I'll get it afterwards. Now is not the time. We've celebrated Easter together, and we've celebrated that Jesus has conquered sin and death. And of course, we know, as we saw a little bit of a glimpse of it last week, that he appeared to all of his disciples, and he spent more time with them, teaching and revealing the truth to them. And Jesus then ascends back into heaven, and the disciples awaited the promised Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit came as promised to them and made its home in their hearts. The word that we see in the Greek is katakoia, to down home, as though the Holy Spirit within you and I, as we've accepted Christ the Saviour, has his feet up in our heart because he's comfortable. Does that not sound wonderful? Now, of course, there is an opposite to that, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. But we're looking for this katakoia, that the Holy Spirit would down home in our hearts, would be so comfortable with the way that we're living our lives, serving the Lord, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer and worship, that the Holy Spirit can down home in our hearts. The Holy Spirit came. And of course, now then, the apostles are empowered, ready to serve God, to share and proclaim this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the early church then, and I'm zipping through Acts chapter 1, 2 and 3 here, just in case you weren't sure where I was, that the early church then begins to grow. And on this particular day, Peter and John are heading to the temple to pray when they come across a man who is stuck at the gate of the temple courts. Has anybody been stuck in traffic before? There's nothing worse, is there? We, on our way to church this morning, we weren't stuck in traffic. We were stuck behind cyclists. And never in my life have I seen so many cyclists in a block. Normally they shut the road when this sort of thing happens, but there must have been 50 cyclists over a stretch of about a mile and a half, which is all fine until you try to pass them. And you guarantee that there's somebody coming the other way. Now, what do you do? Pardon? Yeah, you've all got different opinions. Yes, you have. They shouldn't be on the road. How dare they? They don't pay road tax. And then there's others that go, they have right of way. Anyway, I was polite, wasn't I, Jack? You meant to say yes, son, honestly. So we've all been stuck before, but this guy, well, he is stuck at the gate. And he's been stuck at the gate for a very long time. He gets dropped off here probably most days, and he never gets any further. And Peter and John come across him, and the apostles, as we know and understand how they have gone about and begun to serve the Lord, they've proclaimed Christ, yet now arrives this opportunity to show this power that the Holy Spirit has poured out upon them. And what this does, the signs and the wonders that we see the apostles perform, it points to the fact that they have been given the work of Christ to continue on. It allows them to establish the early church, to give authenticity to who they are and whose they are. We've not heard that one for a month or so. And that's exactly what happens here as they begin this journey of mission and teaching and sharing the gospel. So we pick up the account in Acts chapter 3, and we're just going to look at verse 1 through 10 this week, and God willing, we'll move on from there over the coming weeks. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention. expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask this morning that as we have just read your word, that Lord, that you would bless it to us. Father, that you would speak through me this morning. Father, that we will be blessed by what you've got to say to us. And we ask, Lord God, that you would open up hearts and minds, that we might see and understand more of your wonder and your beauty this morning. Father, that our ears, that our hearts, our minds might be attentive to what you've got to say. So Lord, we ask that you would just bless us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So after all that's happened so recently with these guys, these two apostles, I find it really encouraging to see their obedience and their togetherness. And I say that in such a way that there's sort of two ways to look at it. Peter's had a pretty turbulent few weeks, has he not? And he's made a few errors. And each of them had their own doubt, as we see that they thought, if you remember rightly, on Easter morning, that when the women came back from the tomb with the news, that it seemed like madness to the apostles, like madness to them. The disciples were like, this can't be true. So they all had their moments of doubt. Yet in this moment, and as we've seen as the journey has gone on in Acts, and you'll be able to read that later on, that their obedience and their togetherness, that they continue on with their lives. Remember then that they'd set years aside following Jesus, going from place to place, listening and watching and learning. And now then, if you like, they'd essentially reset to default. But they've got this added oomph. They've received the Holy Spirit. They'd had this time spent with the Lord Jesus. They didn't just go into this new day with fresh hope and expectation like we all do, don't we? They'd gone into this new day, this new time in their lives, full of expectancy and hope that the Lord was going to work wonders and signs and miracles through them. But people were going to ultimately receive Christ as Saviour. People were going to turn from their life of sin and they were going to turn to the Lord Jesus. And as they head to the temple, they come across a lame man who's been placed at the temple gates to beg. Now, we have to know the time that we're in. There's no system in place for this guy. He is lame. He can do nothing for himself. He's not earning his own money. He's not getting anything from the government. He is completely, ultimately, on his own. But, thankfully, he's got some friends around him that are willing to take him to the temple gate. The one called Beautiful. Where else would you take him? At least have a nice view. So they take him to the temple gate called Beautiful. They place him in the same spot and he's unable to move, awaiting, in essence, some spare change. But today, Peter and John, as normal, are on their way up to the temple to pray. But today is going to be different. Today is going to be different for this guy because he's not just going to receive a bit of spare change. He's going to experience this real change. And both Peter and John, well, let's be truthful. We can read it in the text. We're walking straight past him. That's what they were going to do. Let's just double check it so that you can verify what I'm saying. It says in verse 3 of chapter 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. There's every chance there that they were doing what we would all probably do and just continue to walk. But he asks them for money. Now, he's not picked a very good audience because they've been with the Lord Jesus for the last 3 years. The chances are they've not got a great deal of money in their pockets. The chances are that they're probably not the people that you would seek out to try and look for some spare change. No Gucci, no Armani are on these people. I'm sure they were about back then, no? I don't think for a second that Peter had a Louis Vuitton briefcase. He didn't seem like the right guy, but he was, in fact, the right guy. And he asks them for money. He calls out to them, asks them, have you got any change? And Peter, and I love this, how the word records it for us, says Peter looks straight at him. Isn't that important? Now, even more so today in a world of technology, eye contact is so important. Now, if you don't have a teenager in your house, you perhaps haven't grasped this. But they don't look at you anymore. I don't know whether it's just because I'm not as pretty as the gate. But in reality, we're all like this. In fact, only this week, Japan have decided that they're going to cast the lights for green and stop at the pedestrian crossings on the floor because people don't look up. You think I'm joking? Go read the news. And that is the reality of the world that we now live in. People do not look up. They don't want eye contact. And Peter stops and he gives the man his full attention. And I want that off of you this morning. I want your full attention. Not because I've got something great to say, but I know the word is life-changing. Amen? I know the word is life-changing. And Peter stops, turns to the man. Now, we had a title last week, didn't we? Expect the unexpected. I knew you'd all remember. And this guy here, I've asked the question. I tried to sit in his spot. And I tried to think, what am I expecting? Firstly, that I've called out to somebody and they haven't just walked straight past. Secondly, that they have stopped. That's a miracle in itself. But that they've looked at me and they have demanded my attention too. What am I expecting? Well, I know what I'm after. Do you remember what he's after? Money. And just as it so happened, Peter pulled off his Louis Vuitton. He's thinking to himself, I have got the right guy. Yes! Peter stops and he looks at him and says in verse 6, silver or gold, I do not have. Oh, devastating. But he says this, he carries on, but what I do have, I give you. Now, again, forgive me because I want to put us in the story. Think about this for a moment. They've shared the good news about Jesus. Peter did it incredibly boldly only a chapter ago. He went for it wholeheartedly. And everybody around him must have sort of gone, wow, that is incredible. Listen, let's not take for granted what's happening here. They've seen Jesus do this. They've seen Jesus stop. They've seen him look. They've seen him be attentive. And they've seen him heal. What do you think John's thinking in this moment? Oh, Peter, no, don't do it. Anybody else? I was in John's shoes going, he's not, is he? Is he? He's never going to do that. Peter says, what I do have, I give you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. What? I mean, I would be in that position where I'd have gone, do you know what? I think we're late for prayer. All right, you're all more holy than me. But in reality, you think of what's going off here. They've received the Holy Spirit, yes. We've seen the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But now, this gift is now reaching into this person's life who has been stuck at the gate forever. And he's asked this one person, can you do anything? And Peter has said, I don't have money. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And I can't really begin to imagine the moment. Firstly, that sort of anticipation, that nervous anticipation that what he's just declared can actually happen from both their points of view. But then that the man actually gets to his feet. And this is why Jesus, I'm pretty certain, made Peter this leader among equals. Because maybe John, I don't know, I'm questioning him, but really I'm questioning myself, that I'd have sort of gone, well, we probably ease into this a little bit less public. Yeah? A little bit less at the temple courts at prayer time, Peter. Let's do this quietly somewhere and see if it works. Oh, you're all so holy. I can't believe how holy you lot are. But he goes for it. He's an all-in kind of guy. Feet first. And John must have gone, I knew it. I knew he'd get up. I knew it. Can you imagine? You're almost with me, but not quite. You've got to think about it and put yourself in the scenario. You think, this is incredible. Peter was, on the most part, so very often, completely and utterly fearless. And then also, on the flip side of that, he was completely and utterly petrified. That explains me in a nutshell most of the time. In one sense, so excitable, so ready. And then in the other sense, going, probably not. But Peter goes all in. And he says this line, which is so profound. And the crowd that are around him are going to question what's going off here. And we're going to, God willing, see that next week. But the crowd must have thought, what is he saying? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Only a few weeks ago, they crucified this man Jesus. They'd been telling people, and he'd appeared to people. They'd been sharing that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But to declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What do you think's going to happen to Peter and John if you've not read on from the story? Do you think everybody's going to go about their daily business? Or do you think it's all going to kick off? Dun, 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 dun. But think of this, though, that Peter, who was so afraid only weeks ago, and deny everybody, everything, including his own self, is now willing to stand in the middle of the crowds on the way to prayer and say the name, Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Something has happened so drastically in this man's life. And the transformative work of Christ and the Holy Spirit is just so incredible. For Peter, yes, but he has blessed this man in front of him. So he becomes then a blessing to others. Is that not what the gift of the Holy Spirit is for? That we are blessed, yes, but that we are a blessing to others, church. Amen? Amen. Oh, you're close. I feel like another 25 minutes should be with me. That we are to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. As we allow, church, then, the Holy Spirit to teach us and to grow us through his word. We're blessed and we're encouraged. But then if we put ourselves out there, if you like, that we can be a blessing and an encouragement to so many others around us. Helping lead people, in essence, church, from the gate to eternal life. That's our job, to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel, to share the good news about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get people, get them up from the gate and get them in. Amen? That's the journey. That's what we've been called to do. And perhaps you've sat at the gate for a long time. Perhaps you're still sat there now. You've been there for a while. Unable to really do anything. The question is, much like this guy here, what do you want? What is it that you want? Are you looking for a miracle? Are you looking for real change? Because I know what the answer is this morning, and I preach it as often as I can. The answer's Jesus. It always has been. And I can promise you, because the word is enduring and it has stood the test of time, it always will be. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is enough. He is the only way. And church, he is only a prayer away. The simplicity of a prayer of repentance that says, Lord, I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart and change me from the inside out. Lord, I'm so thankful for the work of the cross, that you would reach down for somebody like me and give me the opportunity at life. Amen?
Amen.
Church, that is the simplicity of the gospel. That is the joy of the life that we are able to take hold of through the Lord Jesus Christ. The question, I guess, is for each one of us, is if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own personal saviour, is are you ready to leap for joy? Are you ready to experience that real change? Are you ready to get up from the gate and move forward? Ready to receive this life that the word tells us is truly life? To get through the gate that you perhaps have been stuck at for so many years? Then today is the day to take hold of life. And I would encourage you not to leave this place today without a conversation. Maybe with myself or Alistair or Lal or Kev or Corrie or Laura. Listen, anybody who you know has accepted Christ as Saviour, oh, please that you might know who those people are. Because they'll have a smile on their face. They'll have a joy that is incomparable in their heart. A hope, church, that's steadfast and sure. Amen?
Amen.
Don't leave this place without a conversation. Don't leave this place without saying, am I stuck at the gate? So that we might share this wonderful news about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for your word this morning. Father, for its blessing and for its encouragement. And we just ask, Lord God, that as we've read these words, as we've looked at them together, as we've heard what you've got to say to us, Father, these are words of life. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would just speak into hearts today. Father, that lives might be changed. Father, if there's anybody who is stuck at the gate, today is the day. And we ask these things in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.